Well, we're continuing to look at Jonah chapter 3, as I mentioned earlier. So let me pray again. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Father, we thank you that we can know your truth. And yeah, we thank you that we can read this story that was written 700 years before Jesus. Father, we thank you that this story still has relevance for us today. And so, Father, I pray that you'll speak to us through this story. Help me to speak accurately and truthfully and faithfully from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, I want to share about a very famous person in our history. His name is Richard Johnson. Now, he's got no connection with the famous racing car driver, Dick Johnson. Now, Richard Johnson was Australia's very first chaplain. Richard Johnson, you may get a picture, he came along in the very first fleet with his wife to be a chaplain in our country. Now, Richard Johnson's appointment was thanks to two other very famous people that perhaps you've heard of, John Newton and William Wilberforce. Now, John Newton was a slave trade trafficker. He was a ship captain of the boat. And he was a born-again Christian. And he also wrote the song Amazing Grace that we often sing in church. And William Wilberforce was a famous Christian politician that fought successfully against the European slave trade. Now, these two men, John Newton and William Wilberforce, were instrumental in making sure Australia had a chaplain when the first fleet arrived. And it's amazing what Richard Johnson did. His job was to look after the spiritual life of the convicts and the sailors and the soldiers. He was to share the good news of Jesus with them. Now, isn't it amazing that all these years ago, that people were thinking how the gospel could reach Australians, how the gospel could reach us today? Now, there was some opposition, which is no surprise. There's always opposition to the gospel, isn't there? Some at this time did not see building a church a priority. They said convict labour could not be spared to build a church. And so the services were held in the open air for about 4 years. Now, at the first service that happened at Sydney Cove, this was the passage that Richard Johnson preached from. Click, not happening this morning. Colin, you'll have to be my man. The reading that was read to us: "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." This is the first passage that Richard Johnson preached on. And he persevered for a number of years. And after a period of time, after about 4 years, he got tired of waiting for the authorities to say, yes, you can build a church. He actually began to build the church himself. He was given his own land. He was a very successful father. He was a good father, I believe, but successful farmer. He was a successful farmer. Some say the best farmer at this time. And through the farming, through some money he made there, he was able, with the help of some, eventually the help of some convicts, was able to build a church. A church that could seat about 500 people. And then in this church, he was able to educate, him and his wife were able to educate about 200 school children each week. It's quite an amazing piece of history, isn't it? Australia's very first chaplain. You see, God used Richard Johnson to save many Australians. Just like God is going to use Jonah to save the Ninevites. Just like God wants to use you today so that many others can be saved as well. What a privilege. What an honor that is to be God's vessel in bringing God's truth to other people so that other people's lives can be changed for all eternity. So we're looking at the book of Jonah, and this is the big idea that I want us to think about today. Who God uses and who God saves. Who God uses and who God saves. Well, we see specifically that God uses people despite their past. We then see that God uses people that are willing to share his truth. And then we see the greatest miracle in the book of Jonah. So first of all, we see that God uses people despite their past. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I want you to go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim the message that I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, if you remember Jonah chapter 1, when God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah disobeyed. Jonah ran away from the Lord. But in Jonah chapter 3, there is a very different scene. Jonah obeyed. God gives Jonah a second chance. God uses Jonah despite his past sin. And this morning, I want to say that God can use us as well, despite our past sin as well. Now, isn't God amazing? God didn't have to give Jonah a second chance. God could have said to Jonah, you know what? You're staying in the belly of the fish. I wonder what Craig would do if I decided one morning, he said, Simon, I want you to preach on Sunday morning, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to the beach instead. Craig would have every right to fire me from my job. Well, God has every right to dismiss Jonah. But God gives Jonah a second chance. God uses Jonah despite his sin. It's called God's grace. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I want you to go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim the message that I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Again, God uses us despite our past sin. Because if we are waiting to be perfect, God's going to be waiting a long time, isn't he? Now, to add to this point, the Bible is full of people that have sinned in big ways, but God still used. We think of Moses. He was a murderer. David was a murderer and adulterer. The Apostle Paul, he was one of the biggest persecutors of the church. He was a murderer as well, but yet God used him to write 13 letters in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter denied Christ 3 times. Rahab was a prostitute, but in Hebrews 11, it says she is a hero of the faith. The Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus told her first that he is the Messiah. And she went and told other Samaritans. You see, God uses people despite their sin, despite their past. So if you have a sinful past today, which I believe is all of us, well, guess what? You are a perfect candidate for God's work. A perfect candidate for sharing and spreading God's truth. But let me be clear. Jonah did something. Jonah repented of his sin. You see, it doesn't go from Jonah chapter 1 to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 2 is in the middle. Jonah repented of his sin. And that's what we need to do this morning as well. If we want God to use us, we need to say, God, I'm sorry for my disobedience in the past. But now I'm going to choose to be obedient to you. Yes, you will still make mistakes. Yes, you will still stuff up. But the orientation of our life is now obedience to Jesus. So if you think this morning God cannot use you because of what you have done in your past, well, that is simply not true. Jonah is an example that God uses people despite their past sin. It doesn't disqualify you. But the key is repentance. We need to have repented of our past sin and turned to Christ and seeking to be obedient to him. And also, what is wonderful is that God can use our past, can't he? As a story to bring someone else to salvation. Think about Jonah's 30-second testimony. I was once disobedient to God. I ran away from God. But God sent a storm. I was swallowed by a whale. I repented. And now I seek to live in obedience to God. Your past is also a story of God's amazing work and amazing grace that you can share with somebody else. So God uses people despite their past. So I hope that gives you encouragement this morning to be used by God in sharing his truth with others. Now, the second thing that we amazingly see here, that God uses people that are willing to share his truth. Now, Nineveh was a large city. It was a three-day journey through it. Jonah went a day's journey into the city and proclaimed this message. In 40 more days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, Nineveh is essentially getting a death sentence. And we'll get more to Nineveh in a moment. But what we see here is that God is willing. God uses people that are willing to share his truth. You might be thinking, this is a bit interesting, isn't it? Why am I using the word willing? Because Jonah initially, he wasn't willing, was he? He wasn't willing to share God's truth, God's message with the Ninevites. And God had to do a lot of work on Jonah before he was willing. But that's part of the point, isn't it? God needs to do work on each of us, doesn't he? And once God's done his work, and once we are willing, well then look at what happens. Jonah leads one of the biggest revivals in human history. The whole city of Nineveh repents. You see what happens when we share God's truth with others? Lives can be changed for eternity. Cities can be changed for eternity. Nations can be changed for eternity. Think about our history again. Somebody was willing to share the gospel with John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace. Someone was willing to share the gospel with William Wilberforce. Someone was willing to share the gospel with Richard Johnson, Australia's very first chaplain. Richard Johnson was willing to share the gospel with many Australians. And many other Australians since have been willing to share the gospel until the gospel has reached our ears today. God uses people that are willing to share his truth. I remember those that were willing to share the gospel with me. My friend Gavin in high school. Youth ministers called Russ and Chris. A friend called Stephen. My brother Thomas. As you can see, I needed to hear the gospel a few times. But I give God thanks for their obedience and willingness to share God's truth with me. And so that I can share it with many others today. And so I want to give you guys a challenge today. Now, you've probably received this challenge before, many times in church, but it's so important. We want people to be saved. And so therefore, I challenge you. What one person will you share the gospel with between now and Easter? Perhaps it might be a grandchild. Perhaps it might be a work colleague or an old school friend or a neighbor. Think of that one person now. What one person are you willing to share the gospel with between now and Easter? Perhaps you can invite them around for a cup of tea. And this might lead to an opportunity to share the gospel. It might take a few cups of tea before you have a chance to share the gospel. So be persistent. Keep loving the person. Keep praying for them. Keep seeking to spend time with them. And pray for that opportunity to share with them, to share your story, to share God's truth with them. Now, one person doesn't seem like a lot, does it? But think about it, if we all in this room share the gospel with one person between now and Easter, it adds up, doesn't it? So I'm not limiting you to one person today, but I'm saying let's share the gospel with at least one person between now and Easter. Some people might not ever properly hear or receive the gospel unless you share it with them. God might want to use you intentionally to share the gospel with that person, just like he intentionally used Jonah. So that's the challenge that I want to give you today. Because we see in the book of Jonah that we have a job, and God has given himself a job. Our job is to share. God's job is to save. Our job is to share. God's job is to save. Our job is to share. God's job is to save. Our job is to share. God's job is to save. Our job is to share. God's job is to save. So, Lord willing, what one person are you willing to share the gospel with between now and Easter? God uses people despite their past. God uses people that are willing to share his truth. Romans 10 says this. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, we had a sign this morning with some smelly feet. We're not talking about those type of feet. But we're talking about the beautiful feet that bring the gospel to others. Bring the good news of Jesus to others. There is nothing more important you will do in this life than share the good news of Jesus with someone else. There is no greater honor, no greater privilege, no greater joy than to share the good news of Jesus with someone else. I want you to experience and have that joy this morning. Now, this leads to the amazing thing that happens now in the book of Jonah. It's the greatest miracle in the book of Jonah. You see, the greatest miracle in the book of Jonah is not that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. The greatest miracle in the book of Jonah is that the Ninevites repented. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed. And everybody, from the least to the greatest, put on sackcloth. When the message reached the king got up from his royal throne, took off his royal robes. He put on sackcloth and he sat in the dust. What a miracle. What an incredible response this is. The Ninevites believed God. They fasted. They prayed. They put on sackcloth. The king took off his royal robes and sat in the dust. He then issues this amazing proclamation, urging all people to call on the name of the Lord, telling them to turn from their evil ways. And how did God respond to this? Well, isn't verse 10 wonderful? God saw how the Ninevites responded and how they turned from their evil ways. And God relented and did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. This is the miracle in the book of Jonah. So to answer the question, who God uses and who God saves? Well, God uses repentant sinners like Jonah, like you and me. God uses people that are willing to share his truth. And who does God save? Well, he saves repentant Ninevites. He saves repentant convicts. He saves repentant children. and adults. What a miracle this is. You see, it is a miracle that the Ninevites are saved. But it is a miracle that anyone is saved. No one is deserving of God's salvation. As Ephesians 2 says, we were dead in sin, but God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. That's a miracle. Now, one of the most common questions I get is, why doesn't God do miracles today? Well, I believe God does and can do miracles today, and I've heard stories where that has happened. God doesn't always do the miracle we want, but I'm sure you've all heard stories where he has. But the miracle this morning is this. The miracle is that you are here today. The miracle is that God, by his Spirit, has drawn you here. The miracle is that we are gathered as his people. You see, we are no more deserving than the Ninevites. But God miraculously saved them, and he has miraculously saved us. And this has only happened because another king, a heavenly king, stood up from his throne, took off his royal robes, took off his crown, and replaced it with a crown of thorns. This miracle of salvation is only possible for us because another king, King Jesus, got up from his royal throne, took off his royal robes, and came to be among us. Amen.